Rabosai, we are in Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're starting from Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, the third word on the line. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Kashim Shamra Asala Galech B'moed, the same way that they said, the rabbis, that it's forbidden for a person to shave on to cut the hair on Chol HaMoed, Kachasali told Tzipor Naim B'moed. Also, the person is not allowed to cut their nails. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi says that you can. Furthermore, in the same way that they said that a mourner is not allowed to cut his hair during when he's in mourning. Also, it's forbidden to cut his nails during the mourning. That's Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi allows. So in both cases, Rabbi Yehuda says it's forbidden. And Rabbi Yossi says permitted. Amar Ula, Ula says, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda Eivel. He says, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, who is stringent when it comes to mourning, okay, that you can't cut your, the person can't cut his nails. But Halacha Rabbi Yossi B'moed, the Halacha follows like Rabbi Yossi on Chol HaMoed, that a person is allowed to cut his nails. Shmuel Amar, he says, Halacha Rabbi Yossi B'moed Eivel. He says, if you're already saying that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, by Yontef, by Chol HaMoed, it's allowed to cut his nails. Abel, it's also true that he can cut his nails when he's in mourning. Why? Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, because there's a rule, particularly, for sure, by the Tanaim, the halacha follows the words of whoever's more lenient when it comes to laws of mourning. So if there's an argument by the laws of mourning, one Tana says something is permissible, one Tana says it's forbidden, we follow the Tana that says it's permissible. The Pinchas Achud de Marshmul, Pinchas, the brother of Marshmul, Isra ben Melsa, he lost somebody who he had to mourn for. Al Shmuel Mishal Taima Mine. So Shmuel went up to mourn him, to comfort him. Hazan the Tufre Demonifishan, and he saw that his nails were very long. Amarlay, so he said to him, Amarlay Shakalta, he says, why don't you take you cut your nails off? Why don't you cut your nails? Amarlay, so Pinchas said to Shmuel, Ibidi Dehabe Mi Mizal Zalt Be Kulihai, he says, if it were you, if you were sitting in mourning, would you be so, take it so lightly? To say that you could, that you're allowed to cut your nails? Okay, have a kashkaga shiots minapolit. That's an expression. It was like a mistake that came out of the mouth of the ruler. Once the ruler said something, even if he didn't mean it, but it doesn't come back. It still causes its damage. So he melted Bishmuel. So Shmuel lost somebody that he had to sit and mourn for. Al Pinchas achul l'mishal time b'mine. So Pinchas, his brother, came up to comfort him. Shakil netufre chavtinu lape. So Shmuel took his fingernails and he threw them at him angrily. Amarle, and he said to him, he says, "Les lach bris kuzel esosaim." Don't you hold the principle that there's a covenant that is made with the lips? Sometimes no matter what the lips say, as if they had a covenant, it's gonna come to fruition, even though the person didn't intend it. But what the lips say is gonna happen. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, said, "Minayin should be biskusel esosaim." Where do we see that there's a covenant that is made with the lips? It says, "Vayomer Avram al Nar Avram," when he went to take Isaac up to the altar, he said to his serving men, his young men, "Shulichem poim achamor." You stay here with the donkey. He says, "Me and the boy will go." And we're going to bow down. We're going to come back to you. So you see what? Even though he thought that he's going to sacrifice Yitzhak on the altar, but he said we're going to come back. Even though he didn't really intend that he's going to come back. He's time milsa the hardu tabayu, and it worked out. It came out in they both came back. So you see it works. The lips have tremendous power. So the people in Beis Midrash, okay, when they understood that Shmuel said the person is allowed to cut their nails when they're in mourning, they thought that he meant only the nails of the hands, but not the nails of the feet, because there's no loss. Nobody sees the people don't see people's toenails. He said no. It was explained to me. My very self, I heard from Shmuel himself. Lo shana, there's no difference. The yad, lo shana, the regal. There's no difference between the fingernails. The difference of the toenails. Amar Rabbi Chiya Ashi Amar Rabbi said, Ubignostera, but he says, you're not allowed to cut it with a nail cutting instrument. Even when he's an Ava, he can cut it, but not with a nail cutter. Amrav Shembar Abba, Habika Imna Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan Be Midrasha. He said he was in front of Rabbi Yochanan in the base medrash, B'cholashamoy, when it was Cholamoy, B'shakin Latufa B'shine, and he cut his fingernails with his teeth. Okay, Shmami Na Tlas. And here you can learn three things. Shmami Na, you can learn from here, Mutar L'Tol Tziporna B'chol HaShemayit. One, that a person is allowed to cut their nails on Chol HaMayit. Shmami Na, Ein Ben B'Shemiyas. And also, you can learn from here that it's not considered disgusting to cut one's fingernails with one's teeth. It's not considered Baal Teshakatsu, don't do abominable things. Shmami Na. And we also learn a third thing, Mutar L'Zorkan, that you're allowed to throw the fingernails because Rabbi Yochanan threw his fingernails on the floor. I says, Yini, is that really true? Come on, how can that be? Rabbi Yochanan threw his fingernails on the floor. Didn't we learn that there were three points that the rabbis taught us about fingernails? Hakovran tzaddik, if a person, after he cuts them, he buries them in the ground, he's a tzaddik. Sarfan chasid, if he burns them, he is saintly. Zarkan Russian, if he throws them onto the floor, he's a Russia. Time of my, Sigma says, don't worry. He says, so if you see that a person throws them on the floor, he's a Russia, how can you tell the Rabbi Yochanan? That Rabbi Yochanan threw his fingernails on the floor. Time of the one says, nah, time of my. What's the reason why a person's allowed to throw them on the floor? Shematabra le mishu ubrobatapo. Maybe a woman who's pregnant will pass over them and she will miscarry. That's the problem. It's dangerous. Aisha be medrash lo shchichan. And women are found in the base medrash. Base medrash is the place of men. So he threw them on the floor. There was no problem. I just think, okay, but maybe something new. They'll sweep them, they'll gather them together and throw them outside, and then they'll be on the ground and be dangerous. The answer is, Kevin Dishtani, Ishtani. Once they change their place, it makes no difference. They don't damage anything. So if you would sweep them from the base medrash and gather them or whatever you're going to do, put them out in the street, they're not in the same place where they fell, they're not any more dangerous for pregnant women. I'm a Rav. Zug Ba Michamantan Fe Rebbe. He says that a pair of people came to from Chamtan in front of Rabbi Umar Zutra, he said instead of saying the name of Rav, he would say them as a brisa. He said Zug ba mechamtan lefnei Rabbi. A zug came from Chamtan before Rabbi. Uvikshu a pair. Uvikshu mimenu, and they requested from him tziparnaim. They said they want to know, will he say that they're allowed to cut their nails when they are in mourning? V'itir lahem, and he allowed them. And that futures being bichri men of Safa, had they also asked them about cutting the hair of the mustache, okay, he would have let them also cut the hair above their lip. Ushmul Amar af bichri men of Safa. Ushmul says no, not if he would have asked, he would have said it would have been okay. They actually did ask them such a thing, Vitilam, and he allowed them. Amar Vital Safa Mishmei Rav, he says, Safa, he says, the hair of the lip that they allowed, you have to understand, Mizavis is obvious, that's from one end of the mouth to the other. Amar Abiyami, but Safa Makevis, he says, but it's the lip that is bothering the person, holding him back from eating. In other words, that's the point. In other words, it's only the amount that bothers you from eating, but not the part that's not bothering the person from eating, they don't cut during mourning. Amar Nachmar Yitzhak, he said because he's so fastidious, he's an istinus, all of the hairs on the lip are like the lip that is holding a person back from eating. Furthermore, we're gonna learn another thing in this name of the same person. He says Paro Shabi Me Moshe, Paro, who was in the time of Moshe, who Ama, he was one Ama high, was a kano ama, and his beard was one ama. Ama vizeris, and his private part was one ama and one finger and one small finger. So he was a very strange looking guy. The kai mashenemar, and that fulfills what the pasuk said. Rishvah anoshim yakim alei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to set up a very low person upon the Jewish people. Physically low, but besides everything else, Rambam Ravito Safar Mishmei Derav. He also said, "Paro Shabi Me Moshe. Paro in the time of Moshe Amgushi. He was an Amgushi. Remember, we had in the past Amgushi could either be a sorcerer or a person who blasphemes Hashem. who speaks in a disparaging way of Hashem. Haya, he was an amgushi. Shnemar, as it says, he yotzei amayma, he goes out to the water. And there are two opinions, in other words, here. Either he went out to the water to do sorcery, to the Nile, or he went out to the water and he said bad things. He said, here, I made the river, I made myself. It's my river, I made myself. He spoke that he's God and God is not God. Furthermore, now we learned also in the Mishnah, Elim Mechapsim Amoyed, that these person people are allowed to wash their clothing during Chol HaMoed. Maybe they say, if a person came from a trip overseas, so from far away, he can wash the clothing of Chol HaMoed. He said, if a person only has one, he only has one garment. This is a cholik is like a robe. He has only one robe. It's an underrobe. He has one underrobe. Muta lechapso b'chol shemad. We ask one robe. A guy has one robe. Muta lechapso b'chol shemad. B'chol shemad. So he's allowed to wash it on chol shemad. Okay, because the whole iser is what that he shouldn't wait till chol shemad to wash. He says there's no chance. Whatever he would have done, he still has to wash it, and therefore the rabbis didn't make any decree about him. Masi Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yirmi, Yasakasha, is that true? Didn't we learn in the Mishnah? These are the people that wash their clothing, a person who came from overseas, etc., from far away. Hani Inis is specifically those people. But it didn't say a person that only has one garment. The implication is that he can't wash. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmi, so he answered it back. He says, Zazbar Alech, I'll explain to you, you're making a mistake. The inference you're making is not correct because Avagafti Sleitre. The Mishnah is saying what? It's talking about a person even who has two garments, okay? Umetanfe, a person has two garments and they're not clean, okay? And because he came back from far away, he's allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed. So that person, if he has two, that's when only a person who came back from far away can wash. But a person who has one could wash even though he didn't come back from far away. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giori Mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan. He sent him this halacha. Clay pishtan, clothing that's made out of flax. Mutal chasim b'choloshemoy. You're allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because they're very easy to wash. So the rabbis didn't make a decree. Masi Rabba. So Rabbi asked him a kasha. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Mitpachos, hand towels. Mitpachos yadayim, hand towels which get dirty quickly. Okay, and also what mitpachos. Hasaparim, or the barber's towels, or whatever the cloth that they put on them, you're allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed because they're constantly getting dirty. It says, honey, and you see what, these things, yes, Klei Pishtan lo, and the inference is what, but the flax and garments, no, the Mishnah doesn't mention them. Amalei Abaye, but I said, no, you have to understand the Mishnah this way. Afilu Desharmi, Mesnisa, Afilu Desharmini. The Mishnah is talking about what, when did it say Dafka hand towels, etc., even other materials besides flax. So that then only hand towels, not other things. Let's say whatever it is, wool or whatever it is. But when it's flax, then even not hand towels you can wash. Even not hand towels you can wash because they're easy to wash. Amar bar hedya l'didichas liyamashil tveri the mifkalei mishichle the money kisna. He says I myself saw. He says in the by Tveria that people took out barrels or containers full of flaxen garments b'chol d'moada on Chol HaMoed to wash them. So you see that it must be that you're allowed to do it. Maskevla by Bas Misakashi says Manle Mulan Dibriotzin Chachamim Avde. Who told you that they're doing according to the will of Rabbi the Chachamim? They were Shlo Tzachamim Avde. Maybe they weren't doing it according to the will of Chachamim. No, we say if we see people doing a certain thing, we know that the rabbi's allowed it. So we say it must be the rabbi's allowed it. But we said here, how do you know the rabbi's allowed it? Maybe they're doing it not according to the will of the rabbis. And then the following in the Mishnah. These people are allowed to, you're allowed to write, these things are allowed to be written on Chol HaMoed. You don't have to wait till after it's Kiddushin Hashem. And remember, you have Kiddushin Nisuin. Marriage is in two stages. The Kiddushin that makes her wife, she's already forbidden to other people, you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. The Gittin, the divorce papers you write on Chol HaMoed. But Shovarim, if somebody pays their debt, the creditor is allowed to write him a receipt that he paid off. Daitike, when a person is dying, if he just says and he wants to give things, we write it down and it's given just by the fact that he said it. You're allowed to write that down. Matana, okay, a paper that gives a gift. it was boiling the paper that a person uses to give his, to transfer his loans to the Beis Din so that they can be collected after Shemitah. Igro Shum, these are letters of evaluation that when we divide up land to underage orphans, when we divide up the property, so Beis Din writes a paper that says this property is worth so much and so much money and it's given to this kid. And the other ones, and the other kids got other properties of equal value. The Igwas Mazan also letters of money that what if a person marries a woman and he agrees to support her daughter, so he writes that's an Igwas Mazan, a paper of sustenance. Shtari Chalitza, papers of Chalitza that we write when if the woman's husband died without children, and her Yavama gave her the Chalitza, the equivalent by Yivam of a divorce, we write that down. Meunin, or let's say there was a girl who was underage. So usually a father could marry his girl, his daughter's underage. A mother or the brothers are not allowed. Let's say the father's dead. So the mothers and the brothers can also marry off an underage daughter, but it's only a rabbinic marriage, and therefore, as long as she hasn't reached majority, she can say she doesn't want it. Just me, or she just refuses it, and it's canceled. So there also she's allowed to. We're allowed to write down a paper that she refused while she was refused before majority refused the marriage. Ushtari Beirurim. Also, papers. Let's say they're based in divided up a piece of property between two brothers. Where they about the division of the various properties to the brothers. How they divide up the property. Zero is based in. And that's who goes to who. Zeris Beis Din, okay, also rulings of the Beis Din, Vigros Shoshus, and also letters have to do with the government. In other words, write down, this is such and such the king commanded, because that's something, all these things, and all the reason why all these things are permissible is because we learn the Mechol HaMoed, a person can do something that if you don't do it, will cause a loss. All these things will cause a loss if they're not written down. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Mutter Le Ares, now remember, we said there's erusin and nisuin. Erusin is the first part of marriage, and nisuin is when the marriage is consummated, it's complete. So Amar Shmuel said, "Mutar le'arisisha b'chol shemoyed." A person can complete the first part of marriage on chol shemoyed. Why can he do it? Shem yagdiv eno acher. Lest somebody else will come and beat him to the punch. It'll be a loss. So he wants it quickly. Wants the makadesh her before somebody else does it. Should we prove? Can we bring a support to what he said? Le'im Messiah le. Let's bring a support to him, because we learn ve'elu kosmim moed. We on chol moed, we're allowed to write kiddushin nashim. You see, you're allowed to write kiddushin nashim. So that's the first part of marriage. My love, nishtari kiddushin mamash. Doesn't that mean you're allowed to write down literally the contract of marriage? You can one of the ways you can marry a woman by writing. You're married to her with this paper, with this document. La Gemara says no. Nishtari psiksa says no. When the Mishnah, I could say, was not talking about the paper that actually makes the girl the first stage of marriage to him, but rather what? Okay, it's really talking about the papers that the various families obligated themselves. Okay, in other words, this one said, "I'll give." Okay, like we'll see. Each one pledges a certain amount of money. From their side, okay, and those are called kiddush. They're also called kiddush and hashem, but it's not the paper that marries them; it's the paper that writes down how much they pledged. Okay, gidlo marav, like he said, damrav gidlo marav said, "Kama atanos lebincha? How much are you going to give for your son? Kach v'kach, so much and so much money. I'll pay for the marriage. Kama atanos lebitcha? How much are you going to put up on the behalf of your daughter? Kach v'kach, so much and so much money. Amdu v'kitchu, if they went and then got married, kanu without any other." Device of acquisition without any other kinyan, the fact that they get married already acquires the obligation of one family to the other. Hein hein advarim nikraim bamir. These are things which are acquired by mere speaking. That it's enough without another device that they've all agreed to transfer the ownership of what they pledged. Lema Messiah lay. Okay, he says maybe we could support what he said from this point with that you're allowed to do the first stage of marriage of chol hamoed. Ein osin nashim b'moed. It says you can't do nisuin. Remember, you have kedushin and nisuin, or erusin and nisuin. Nisuin is the consummation of the marriage. We can't consummate a marriage on chol hamoed. Lo basulos, not whether they're first time, whether they're virgins, lo amanos, or not widows. Lo miyabim. Nor can a person take a wife, his brother's wife, in yivam to consummate the marriage in yivam. B'pnei simcha hilo. Why? Because that is his joy. And you learn, remember, you can't mix the joy of marriage with the joy of the yontav. But you see, it's a wet that it say you can't do nisuin, the consummation, holy aris, but to do the first part of marriage, the kedushin, the erusin, you see you can. Okay, shari, holy aris, shari, the inference is what? That the first part you're allowed, that would support Shmuel. Mara says, lo mabaya kamayt, lope, it's not necessarily a proof. Why? Because you can say it's Mishnah saying it goes without saying. Lo mabaya la aris, it goes without saying. The first stage of marriage, you're not allowed to do on cholam oed the lo kavi mitzvah. It's not even, he's not even doing the mitzvah of consummating the marriage. Alafila lisa nami, even the consummation of the marriage, the kavi mitzvah, he's already doing a mitzvah. Because he's going to have children, etc. Even that is usher. So they say, you're saying, well, it's only the second stage of marriage you can't do, but the first thing you can, he says, no, it's even the second stage of marriage you can't do, and it goes without saying that the first stage of marriage you can't do. So we still can't prove Shmuel. Tashma, come on, bring your proof to the Tana of the Bei Shmuel. We learn the Shiva Shmuel, Arsin, okay, Avalokansin. You can do a rusin on the Chol HaMoed. That's the first stage of marriage. Of lo konsum, but you can't do the second stage of consummation of nisuin. Bein osin suuda say rusin. We don't make the meal of the first stage of marriage. Below miyabim, we can't do yivim. Why? Mipnei simcha hilo. Because that is, all these things are a joy for him, and you can't mix another simcha to mix simcha v'yanta. So from there, Shema Mino and Echanami, from here we can hear that you can indeed do the first stage of marriage on Chol HaMoed. Ayomir mo Shmuel shem yagdim racha. Does Shmuel really hold that there's a problem that a person has to rush and do the first stage of marriage lest somebody else will beat him to the punch? Can anybody beat you to the punch? Didn't we learn that nobody can, but something that implies that nobody can ever get the woman you want to marry if she's for you? Ivam Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, didn't we learn that he said, V'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzes v'meres, every day a heavenly voice comes out and it says, bas ploni leploni, the daughter of so-and-so to so-and-so. Okay, stay ploni leploni, the field of so-and-so goes to so-and-so. So you see what, that everybody's wife is predestined. Why does he have to rush and marry her? No, nobody else can get her. Says El Hashem Yakim Racha Bracham. He says no. So with the answer, you have to say that what Shmuel was really saying. Well, he didn't say that you can do the first stage of marriage lest somebody else will beat you to the punch, but rather said lest somebody else will beat you by davening, because even though a woman is predestined for somebody, for the husband, there are times where with prayer a person can undo that decree. And therefore, he's allowed to do the first stage of marriage. Why? He held the rabba, like the Yisra rabba. Shaman the Hugabra, the boy Rachman, heard a certain person was davening. Rahman, he says, "Tis davening liplanisa." He says, "Dang to heaven, work it out that this girl marries me." Amarle, so Rabba said to him, "Loti boy Rachman." He said, "You shouldn't daven that way." Why? He said, "If she's fitting for you, if she's the one that's fit for you, according to the heavenly voice, Lazmina, she's not going to go away below. And if she's not the one that was destined for you, well, Kafarta Bashem, you're going to come to deny God, okay? But you're going to feel that prayer has no value. See, it's predestined. So what are you doing? So, okay, Basar Achi, Shame, the comer after her, he heard the guy saying, oh, Elimu says, okay, he says, he can't stand the thought of not marrying her. He says, okay, he says, if she's not for me, you know, she's not my predestined, then she should die before she gets, okay, Elimu must become up. Either she should die before she gets married. Either he should die before she gets married. Or either Tomo, so she should die before she gets married. Mikame, okay. Why he shouldn't see? He shouldn't have the pain of seeing her marry somebody else. Amalei, so Rabbi said to him, Lava minilach lo tiboy Allah demil. Said, then I tell you, you shouldn't ask things like this. Hachi Amrav Mishum Rabbi Benitz to Robli. He said, Minat Torah, Minamidim Ksuvim. We learn that what. He says, Ma Isha Minaksuvim, Me Hashem Isha Leish. From the Hashem, the woman is to the man. And those, we know the proof that it's destined. But the point is, over, he said to him, even so, but you're going to bring about terrible things. You're going to say people have to die. So, but we have a big kasha that somebody. But you see that what, that his prayer can have the value. He can override the guy's marriage by praying to Hashem the girl should die. So you see that even though she's destined for this guy, but the other guy who's jealous or can't let go can pray that she'll die. So he says, where do we see three proofs that Hashem gives the wife to the man? Min haTorah d'chsiv, from the Torah, it's written, Vayan lovin b'sul, yovin lovin b'sul. When he made them the proposal, they answered, Vayomer mi Hashem yotzei hadavar. So from Hashem this thing came out. Okay, she's fitting for Yitzhak. Minanavim, what do we see from the prophets? The Chesiva is written, by Shimshon, the father and mother didn't know that it's from Hashem that he should marry this woman. From the writings, how do we see it? It says, a house and money, that's the inheritance of one's ancestors. But the intelligent woman is from Hashem. So you see, Hashem gives the wife. Rabbi Reuven ben Itzrobli, so I believe. Amila Shemesnis. Sometimes we say learn it from a brisa. Rabbi Reuven ben Itzrobli. Ain Adam Nechsha Bedavar. A person is not suspected of something. Elim Kenasa, unless he did it. If a person is suspected, he did it. V'im lo asa kulo. If he didn't do all of it, asa mitzasa. At least did part of it. V'im lo asa mitzasa. Even if he didn't do part of it, here believe lo asa. In his heart, he thought about doing it. V'im lo here believe lo asa. If he didn't think about doing it in his heart, raw achem shasa was somehow. He saw other people doing it. He was happy about that. Somehow he was somehow involved in the thing he was suspected of. Okay, Macy Rabbi Yaakov, is that true? Every time a person is suspected, they have some complicity. He says, "V'yachpu b'nei Adam, b'nei Yisrael, dvarim asher lo kein al Hashem Elohim." It says the Jewish people made up things about God that weren't true. You see, people do suspect things that aren't true. He says, "Nah, hasam achlisal," but he said they were only doing it to make Hashem angry. He says they didn't really suspect Hashem of those things. They just said it because they wanted to make Hashem angry. Toshma again, all Yishkash is really true that every time somebody suspected something, there's some complicity. I be kanu the Moshe, he has some guilt. That kind of Moshe machanel al Aaron the Moshe, but machanel Aaron kadosh Hashem. They were jealous of Moshe in the camp and Aaron. The Holy One of God. Rav Shmuel by Yitzhak Amar, he said, every one of them was jealous of his wife Moshe. They all suspected Moshe of acting improperly with their wives. Now, Hashmi Shemsinu David, the same thing. It's just from hatred they said all that. They really did not suspect him. Furthermore, Toshma, again, come on, is it really true that everybody who got suspected of something have some guilt? Rabbi Yossi says, Yehi Chalki, Mishachoshin Osobadavar. Didn't Rabbi Yossi say, my portion should be with those people who are suspected of something, rainbow, and it's not true about them? So you see what? He wanted there to be such a thing that they should suspect him and it shouldn't be true. You see, it's not true that he doesn't mean that they suspected it was true. He said, let it be they suspected it's not true. You see, people can suspect people of something and there's no truth in it. The Amr of Papa said, Ladidi Chashtavalabi. So also, they suspected this, Rav Papa said, by Meetup, and they suspected me and it wasn't true. So, how can we say this principle that we said that anytime there's suspicion, there's some truth? No kasha, it's not a kasha. It depends. When did we say that it's good to be suspected, it's not true? By when the rumor goes out, but it stops. But Rabbi Reuben taught us that anytime there's suspicion, there's truth, and it's when the rumor doesn't stop. I have a kala de la pasuk ad kama. How long does an unstopping rumor go? I'm Rabbi, I'm Eliam. He said his mother, who is the one who raised him, told him, do me the masa. He says the suspicions of the town with a rumor yom opalga is a day and a half. Honey, really, when is it called a day and a half? It's called a rumor that didn't stop, and there's always some guilt. The low pasik beni beni, it didn't stop in the middle. In the day and a half, it didn't stop at all. I will pasik beni beni, if it stopped for a little bit, less lumbar, then it still doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. You can't say then that there's some truth. I vechi pasik beni beni l'arman. And even when we said that if it stops in the middle, there's no truth in it. Ella the low pasak machmasira. It's only where it didn't stop because of fear. In other words, if it stopped, not out of fear, then we know that there's no truth in it. But if it stopped out of fear because they were afraid of a puzzle machmasira, lo, then we don't say that there's no truth in it because it wasn't a real stopping. Lo Arman, and we also didn't say that if it stopped without fear, that there's still truth in it. If it stopped without fear, there's no truth in it. Al de la Hadanabat, where the rumor didn't come back and sprout again like before. Al Hadanabat, if it went out and sprouted again, resprouted, lo, okay, then the fact that it stopped doesn't mean that there's no guilt, and there is still some suspicion of the guy. But the Amran, okay, and we never said that the rumor makes it that he is indeed suspected of being guilty. The less they oive him, it's only where he doesn't have enemies. At least they oive him. If he has enemies, okay, then rumor doesn't make him suspected at all. Oive him who dafku l'kal, because it's just his enemies who are bringing out the rumor, and therefore the rumor has no meaning. And we'll call that a daf. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.